like a drunken.
Good morning, everybody. Boy, it's a good morning for me. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next hour and 56 minutes, you're stuck with car talk. We talk about your car, your husband's car. We talk about hot rods and motor homes. And every once in a while, I can even speak to a tractor problem, but let's leave that on the side for the time being. 602-508-0960. We have on my website, marksalem.com, we have a list of the best car repair shops in Phoenix, according to me. Not according to anybody else, just according to me. These are guys I know. One of them is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing since 1970. Thompson's has been around. Brian and Thelma now run, and they're a second or third generations, and their families, their fathers and grandfathers, were friends of mine in the gas station days of the late 60s and early 70s. So they've been around this business for a long time, so it's the only shop in Mesa that I can refer you to. And they're very good at what they do. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. I wish I had more in Mesa. But many times when someone applies, they may not have the years of service. They may not have the review numbers that we want to see. They may not have a good reputation. Nevertheless, there's lots of reasons why you don't make it. And when you do make it, the filter is mine. And it's rather stringent. Okay. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. We had a gentleman that brought his Dodge Charger in. Now, let me preface this by saying we did some air conditioning work on it. In the old days, long time ago, in the 70s and the 80s, and I think portion of the 90s, but I may be wrong there, we went from a R12 refrigerant. That's the Freon we put in your air conditioning unit. So R12 was first, and then R134 was second. And R12 today is kind of expensive because it's very rare. So the older cars have two choices. They can either pay more for R12 or they can convert to 134. So like R12 is step one, 134 is step two. We have for many years what we call level three refrigerant, which is called 1234YF. We're just going to call it 1234. So R12, this is craziness, R134, and then R1234. Let me give you an example of how that's going to impact you with respect to your newer model cars that have this new refrigerant in it. Okay? First of all, the new refrigerant, 1234, is sold in grams, and there's 28 grams to an ounce. So we have to cross that over and figure out what it is that we're talking about with respect to refrigerant. Okay, on this Dodge Charger, it takes the new refrigerant, 1234, for 623 grams, there's 28 grams to an ounce. For 623 grams of the new refrigerant, he paid $311.50. That's going to be a surprise to most people, but that's the cost of it. And rarely do we make a whole lot of money because we're too embarrassed to sell that for $350, $375, $400. We're just too embarrassed to do that. So if that customer would have had the old 134, he would have spent $64.90. So here's the deal. $65 for the refrigerant he needed of the generation behind, $65, or $311.50 for the new stuff. So what's the difference in the new stuff? I don't know, but I can tell you this. We never used flammable refrigerants in your car, and here's why. Behind the glove box, there's a heater core, which is a small radiator about the size of a book. Maybe, I don't know, 8 inches by 8 inches. So that's your heater core. Now, it has hot water in it, and when the heater core leaks, typically it leaks outside the car. Every once in a while, you'll have some wet floor mats on the passenger side. Well, in there, that's for the heater to give you hot air. In there is what we call the evaporator, which is about the same size, 8 inches by 8 inches. And that's where Freon flows, and there's a fan behind both of them. So if you want cold air, we turn the fan on behind the evaporator. If you want warm air, we turn the fan on in front of the heater core. So we're not supposed to use refrigerants that are flammable, and here's why. Many of the old guys of my industry used to use propane because it was cheaper. Obviously, if someone's smoking in the passenger seat and we have a significant propane leak, somebody might have some singed hair afterwards. I've never seen that. I've seen lots of cars with propane, but I've never seen that happen. But we're not supposed to have flammable refrigerants for your air conditioning systems and automotive air conditioning systems. Here's what it says on the internet. There are some exceptions to this no flammable refrigerants, such as the new 134 refrigerant, which is only mildly flammable, only under certain conditions. Do you see the hypocrisy here? It's just like flammable refrigerants are illegal. However, 1234, which is mildly flammable, only under certain conditions, is in all the cars for the last 10 years. Wow. Wow. So this is kind of the stuff that goes on, but it's embarrassing to charge someone $311 when last time they brought their wife's car in, it was $65. So what this brings to mind, oh, by the way, the phone number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. A gentleman brings in his Dodge Charger, and it's a 2016. And he says that he's got air conditioning is blowing warm. So he says he'd like to get an estimate, and we found that it was low on Freon, and we found that the reason why it was low on Freon was because the Schrader valves, one of them was leaking. Now, the Schrader valve looks like the valve stem on your car, on your tires. It's round, and it has this little gizmo inside. You push on it, the air comes out of your tire. You let it go, no air should come out of there. Well, in the refrigeration world, we use the same kind of Schrader valve. So in his particular case, we found a leak on the low side Schrader valve, and there's two systems, a high side and a low side, on your air conditioning system and on your refrigeration on your car. So we obviously have to suck all the refrigerant out of it, and we have equipment to do that, and then we're going to replace those two Schrader valves. We did both. There's only two. And then we put refrigerant back in. $311 worth of refrigerant. And also, he has an aftermarket warranty company. And according to him, that they told him this would cover everything. You just buy this warranty, and we got your back. We got you covered. Now, admittedly, you may be told that they don't take care of shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. That's sometimes we see on a regular basis. However, we cover everything. All right, so he's got air conditioning system, and to give you an idea on the air conditioning system, 4511 is 55, evacuate. Oh, he's got about $150 worth of labor, and 40 of that is the diagnosis to find the leak, and then the rest of it is to take the old refrigerant, take the refrigerant out, put it back in, and then top it off. And we have to measure it, and we can't measure it in the car. So we had to suck it out anyway. We measure it, and then it's a little low, and we put the original refrigerant back in, and then we add to it. In the case of you only gave us 14 ounces and you need 18 ounces, so we'll put your 14 back, and we'll charge you for four. So we fix his air conditioning, and he's reminding us, don't forget my extended warranty. So then the next thing that we do to it is we replace or we evacuate and recharge, and then we inspect the noise pop in the front left. So he tells us that when you drive the car that there's a noise. And this, we write down what he says. Check front end seems like left front strut mount making a popping noise. The strut was replaced before at the dealer in the past for similar noise. So he has a noise. And somebody, I don't know who, replaced the left front shock absorber. We call it a strut. So the left front shock absorber. He still got the noise. So, and I think the estimate on this particular work was $75. You have to understand, when we give you an estimate, it's a guess. We're going to get as close as we can. But most of the good shops in town will overestimate that. So they'll give you a higher number so they don't have to call you back. Because, see, we're heroes. If we could tell you 150 and we come in at 110, you like us better. So most everybody gives a higher number. But don't forget, an estimate is for diagnostics is a guess. That's all there is to it. It's a guess. Estimate for repair, parts, and labor it should be right on the penny or close to it. So an estimate on a diagnosis. We inspect the vehicle, we road test it, and we heard the noise. It was coming from the left, as the driver said, and we found the front sway bar bracket was loose. We can see the hardware still there. We're going to need to remove a heat shield to gain access to this joint. We removed the shield, tightened up the bolt, reinstalled the shield, and then we took another road test, and the noise was gone. Okay.
2 minutes.
That was a total of $45 to inspect it and find it, and then it was $67.50 to fix it. So what's that, $107.50 to fix it? But this is after somebody put a left front strut on it and supposedly fixed it, and the left front strut and the labor was probably close to $300 or $400. So I'm not saying anybody's a hero here. I'm just sharing with you what's going on. Okay, at the end of the day, the bill for everything is $677. Do you remember that warranty company or the salesman who sold him the aftermarket warranty says, "We got you covered"? Remember that? So let me remind you, $677.68. The customer has to pay $369 plus his deductible. So the customer pays $469 of the $677 bill, and the aftermarket warranty company comes to the table with $208. So the customer pays $469, and the aftermarket warranty company pays $208. Now, I don't know how my math is, but it seems like that they paid about half. Well, they didn't pay half. They paid a third of the entire bill, and the customer paid the other two-thirds. This is what we run into all the time. And it's an unfortunate situation because here's why. We have to tell you the bad news. We have to tell you that somebody's treating you. We have to tell you that it might not have been a great idea to buy that aftermarket warranty because they're going to promise you the moon and they're going to give you a rock. That's all there is to it. There isn't a shop owner in town that has an aftermarket warranty on his car, his wife's car, his mother's car, his dad's car. Now, if he doesn't like his sister, she's probably got one. But the bottom line is we don't buy them and we don't sell them. But they're very lucrative, too. If I was to sell them, I make a lot of money on the sale. So I become the salesman for the aftermarket warranty company. You can do what you want, but my advice is stay away from those. Stay away, stay away, stay away. Anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Gil and I will be right back.
Totally different from what I did.
Well, it's 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You're welcome to join us if you'd like, and I'm going to get to Lou in just about 15 to 20 seconds. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange. Phil has been rebuilding transmissions since the Barney Rubble time. He's been around a long time. He's really good at what he's doing. He's good on the newer stuff, but he's extra good on the older stuff. So they're at 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange, and it's a great place to go for a tranny leak or to have somebody drive it and diagnose it or anything related to that. So we're going to go back to the phones. Lou, good morning to you.
Good morning. Mark, I have a 2018 Honda Stick, 6-speed. The switch on it, the resume and set switch doesn't work. I went to the dealer, and I was under warranty the first time. They fixed it. It broke down a second time. Went back again. And the guy said, "There's a defect with the switch." And I said, "I could have told you that." Anyway, they fixed it. Now I have 63,500 miles on a car, and again, the switch broke again. Now, I'm not under warranty. I need to get it fixed. I have a hard time keeping my foot on the pedal to keep the speeds, you know, where I'm at.
Sure.
I need to find out a dealer. I don't want to go back to the Honda dealer. I want to go to another dealer that knows how to fix that switch and what it would cost.
Okay. Oh, well, first of all, I want you to do this, okay? The switch cancels when you hit the brake. Does that make sense?
This doesn't work, the switch at all.
I understand that. I understand that. When the switch is working, and you're set in cruise control, the minute you touch the brake pedal, it cancels the cruise, right?
No, the cruise stays on. I leave the cruise on.
No, one more time, okay? Let me just, I'll move on with this. Many times the brake light switch is not adjusted properly, and the brake light switch will oftentimes cause the cruise control not to come on. Not often, but sometimes. So I tell people, when you set the cruise, and if you can get it to come on and hold, fine. But if you can't, put your foot underneath the brake pedal and pull the brake pedal towards you. And then if you say, wow, every time I do that, it works, then it's not the switch. As far as your switch is concerned, I think, I don't know another dealer that's going to be able to help you. And I don't think it's a switch problem either. I think it's the problem with the switch. I think the switch is defective, so you just put another one in again and again. I think I would call on a Tuesday afternoon and ask for the service manager, and I would have your repair orders in front of you. And you say, on this date, you replaced my cruise control set and resume switch, and then you did it again, and the symptoms then were it didn't work, and so I'm at it again, but I'm out of warranty. Is there any way that you could extend consideration to me because I've had this switch done twice during warranty, and now at 60,000, it's I have the same symptom? Could you look into it? And here's my two service number tickets. Here's my two service order numbers, I should say. And would you look into that and see if there would be any consideration you would extend to me? That's what I would do. It's a nice way to say, I've already done this twice. Now I'm out of warranty and the symptoms are the same, so I'm going to assume the repair's the same. And so I would like you to extend whatever considerations. It's just a nice way to do it. He's either going to say yes or no. Now, most of the time when presented it that way, and certainly this is going to be a reasonable bill, then they will. Obviously, if the bill is $9,000, they're probably not going to do that. But that's what I would do, is I would ask. I can't send you to anybody else. You clearly got a problem, and it's 90% sure that it's the switch, and it's probably, you can tell by the part number sometimes, if you're wise about the part numbers, because they'll have like an A on the end of it, then they'll have a B, and then they'll have a C. It's something silly like that, and it tells you that this thing has been upgraded or redesigned or repaired three times. So that's kind of how it works. But good luck to you, Lou. It's an unfortunate situation you're in. To dovetail that, by the way, 602-508-0960 is the number if you have a car question like Lou, 602-508-0960. I had a Suburban 100 years ago, and it had a big block Chevy in it, a 454, which is a monster motor. And I fixed it up for off-road use. So it was kind of raised up, and it had this, and it had that, and it had a winch on the front. And it was changed dramatically with respect to the vehicle. And I even changed the way we introduced fuel to the engine. I put a supercharger on it. Well, I had taken it in during warranty period for this transmission clunk that was intermittent, and they just couldn't find it. But I took it in three times during warranty. So fast forward later, I'm 50,000 miles out of warranty, and it's really bad now. So I take it in. And I said, you know, give me a call when you get the estimate or whatever, because I can't find it. And they call me back and they go, your truck's ready. And I said, ooh, I asked you for an estimate before you did it. And they go, okay, well, ask me. How much is the estimate? Zero. Oh, and you fixed it? Yeah. What'd you do? We overhauled the transmission. What was different now than before? Well, before it just wasn't bad enough, but we have three records that you came in for this clunk. And then you come in outside of warranty and you still, and the clunk turns out to be a transmission defect where a snap ring had broken, and that was the clunk. And we could never duplicate it, so we're going to cover it. It wasn't because I'm Mark Salem. It wasn't that at all. It was because we had previous work orders. So learn from that lesson. If you have a problem, just kind of stay on top of it. Who's next?
We have Brian.
Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Like the show a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just have a comment on the extended warranties, and I, You know, I just feel like the legalese, the way they're written, is it should be illegal, I guess. And I had worked with them before, and it was one of the reasons I was drove out of the service writing business. But anyway, I wanted to make that statement. And that, you know, we can all wonder why they allow the basically cheating to go on.
Yeah.
And then I had a question about oil. I've been using the synthetic oil and whatever brand, and I understand the four different major oil manufacturers, whatever, refineries. The only question I had about what, there's different times that you've stated the periods of intervals of oil changes, and I'm glad that you're in, you know, educating people about that. But I'm confused because I've heard you say even up to 15,000 miles on a synthetic. And I can kind of see that because at 10,000 miles right now, I've still got a brown hue to that oil. Now, two questions. Is 15,000 miles okay to go that far? If you need to add oil, go ahead. And the next question is, does the color of the oil on a particular engine make that much difference?
Okay, perfect. Perfect, perfect. I understand completely. I'm going to answer one question now, but I'm 45 seconds away from the bottom of the hour break. The color of the oil has nothing to do with it. The color of the oil tells you that it's picked up some debris. It's picked up some contamination. But we have, although we have, in my world, we have looked at the oil and said, oh, and condemned it. Today we know that's not the case. If the oil was really clean, it wouldn't be doing its job. And so you said it has a slight brown hue to it. I wouldn't worry about it. Now, on the other side of the break, we'll talk about how long does synthetic oil last and why is there a difference with respect to mileage. And that's an easy one that I can't cover in 3, 2, 1. Minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Thanks for spending some portion of your Saturday with me. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. You got a car problem. And I'm especially good when there's a dispute between husbands and wives. I'm especially good with that. So if you and your wife, whatever, you have an argument, then give me a call. Okay, we're going to go back to Brian. Brian, the reason why, and just for the rest of you folks, there's three kinds of oils. There's good, better,
right.
Best. Okay. And there's a different oil change interval for each one. The good is 3,000 to 5,000 miles. The middle one is between 5 and 7,500, sometimes 8,000. And
right.
Then the synthetic goes from 7,500 to 10 and to sometimes 15. And to answer your question is, I have to include the Mercedes-Benz there, and they're going 15,000 miles. I have most of my customers on 10 or 12,000-mile intervals. The only person that goes 15 is me, and because I'm the car guy and my motor would never let me down.
Okay.
Did that cover it?
Just, you know, my 4.3 General Motors engine in a... it's a GMC little pickup, two-wheel drive, and this thing has got like 110,000. I've changed it at 10, and it'll use, you know, I might add a half a quart to it in that time. It's just wonderful. And now I'm looking at it like, do I have to get the ramps out and change it? And I guess I will. But I guess I could just as well add a half a quart to it and drive it to 15,000.
You could do anything you want. You don't sound like the guy,
right.
The guy that's on Central Avenue on Friday nights. You don't sound like you've abused it. Let me ask you a couple questions. How many miles do you drive a year?
Well, normally, to answer, about 5 or 6,000 on that vehicle.
Okay. Why wouldn't we go to a...
I check everything all the time, and I know that's why you want everybody in the spring to let's get it checked over, because we got the summer to go to.
Right. But why not use a semi-synthetic? It's half the price, and you can do it every 5, 6, 7,000 miles, and you do it in the spring. So why don't we just narrow the gap a little bit? I'm more uncomfortable with you going 2 years
Yeah, well, that's what I've done this time. But the thing is that I'm just looking, avoiding crawling under it, but I guess I'm lazy.
Well, it doesn't. What's your wife doing on Saturdays?
Yeah, she rotates the tires.
Okay. Okay, let me say something else, too. We have to drive it good, and we have to go through lots of heat cycles in order to get the water out of the oil. So the engine temperature goes up well past 220, and water boils at 212, blah, blah, blah. I'm a little concerned about you if you're only doing 10,000 miles or, you know, 5 to 10,000 miles a year. I'm worried about...
No, it's highway driven. I'd say 60 to 70% of that, well, yeah, that'd be a good percentage, is highway driven from East Valley to North Central, you know, I-17 and Union Hills area. And so I know, you know, I know that it's, yeah, I'm following you.
Okay.
So I guess I could add a quart.
All right. Now, if you want to add a quart, that's fine. Now, the Union Hills and I-17, is that where, between you and me, is that where your girlfriend lives?
No, I got a house there, too.
I'm teasing you.
I'm trying to sell it in a good market, man.
Hey, I want to tell you something. I want to comment about that. I'm in Payson right now. I have a radio studio in my office. And in Payson right now, it's not uncommon for somebody to post their house in a realtor mode, post their house on the MLS, and for them to have people bidding on it. The other day, I was told by a realtor that somebody got $50,000 more than they even listed it for because there was so many people bidding. Now, I also hear from the realtors that California and Colorado are dominating the Arizona market. As I drive around Payson, I see those license plates, but California. Mm-hmm. Now, here's why. And this is what I've been told by others, and it's so believable. Everybody has found out that they can do their job from home. So why don't, there's one guy that's from Portland, he moves to Payson, and he goes, I can do my job from Payson.
1 minute.
So
No, the pandemic and electronics have changed everything, Mark.
Yeah.
I just want to make a real quick point before I go.
Okay.
I think it's very important for people. Like I said, I was a service writer one time, bit of a manager, to be concise about what they need to tell you when they call up. More importantly, when they go to a shop, if they like the shop or if they first go into the shop, size it up. If you don't like the smell of the place or you don't like the look of the place, you can turn around and walk out. And another thing, it's very important for people to know that a 3,000-mile sticker on a full synthetic oil change is a total rip.
It's fraud.
And that's all I have to say
all
today.
Right. It's fraud. It's fraud. You are defrauding your customer because you're selling them a premium oil package for $100 to $200, and then you're quietly putting a 3,000-mile call on the door sticker in the upper left-hand corner of the windshield. That's flat-out screwing your customer, because that's not right. And we'll be back right after my blood pressure drops. Well, you like it or not, you're stuck with me for the next hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes. My name is Mark Salem, and we're talking about cars. You're always welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. You have a chance to get on, and like I said, there's five of them. Gil will tell everybody there's three, but he's just fibbing. It's really five. So 602-508-0960. One of the best shops I've got listed on my website, marksalem.com, and I've got, I don't know, 30 of them. Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, been around since 1967. There's a pattern there. You don't stay in business since 1967 unless you're good. You don't stay in business unless you treat people fairly, especially in a neighborhood like he's got. So they do all kinds of stuff, auto electrical work, brake systems, vehicle maintenance, emissions, all that stuff, but and the foreign and domestic as well. But if you're in the area of 39th Avenue and Indian School, then Larry Harker's. However, if you've got a problem where every time you push the cigarette lighter in, the car dies, they are great diagnosticians. Between Bob and his son-in-law, I think it's Jeremy, they are really, really good. And they have actually bailed me out before. So that's Larry Harker's Auto. Nick, you're up. How can I help you?
Mark, I got a really tough question to ask you. It's really just gnawing at me.
Oh, sure.
I got an 06. Yeah, I got an 06 Colorado. I called you a couple weeks ago about never putting in a catalytic converter.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I got an air conditioning problem where the guy said he thinks it's coming from the evaporator because he could smell the Freon coming out underneath the dash on the glove box side.
Yeah.
If you had 786,000 miles on your vehicle, 310,000 on the second engine, or the license sticker is only $60 a year, insurance $70 a month, if it was the evaporator, would you replace it?
Well, let's back this train up.
Or get a new vehicle.
I can put new tires, new brakes, new windshield. I can do all your belts and hoses. I can do your interior and replace all your glass and have it tinted for the sales tax of a new car. And you know
yeah,
what?
Tell
for
me
the
about it.
Sales tax on a new car, I'll put an engine and a transmission and a differential in it for you too. Okay? So if you want a new Colorado, you just come to my shop and give me that sales tax money and I'll take care of you. Okay, well let's talk
about Let's talk about the AC.
All right.
Okay.
I would use bad words if one of my guys said that. Okay? What he's saying right here is he's saying that he doesn't smell it because you can't smell Freon. He's got a sniffer. And so what he's doing is he puts the sniffer in the vent and he turns on the air conditioning and the sniffer goes deet, deet, deet. And when it smells Freon, it goes okay, you with me so far? Here's the problem with the sniffer. Put it up to your lips and just blow on it. You put it up to your lips 3 inches away, and you go, and it goes, and there ain't no Freon in my lungs. So, and then what happens is I can't find the leak anywhere else, so it has to be in the evaporator, which is behind the glove box. It just so happens that that's a really expensive job, and you can't believe all I have to do. I have to take the dashboard apart, I have to take the glove box out, and then I have to go on the other side, open the hood, and I gotta take all that off, and I gotta split that case, and I get another opinion, or you look him in the eye and you say, I want you to write down that you're gonna fix my leak for $700. I'm going to hold you to it because I need you to tell me for sure you're going to replace the evaporator. And by the way, I want the old evaporator back. And you're going to fix my air conditioning leak with just the evaporator. And it's not going to be the next time I come in 2 weeks from now. Oh, well, the front seal on the air conditioning compressor is leaking. Oh, the manifold at the condenser is leaking. Because that's what happens. So I don't like it when my staff say it's the evaporator, and here's why. We have cameras that we can run through the vents. Now, here's this little radiator that's 8x8, 10x10. It looks just like a radiator, but it's aluminum. If it's got a refrigeration leak, it's going to have an oil spot on it that's big, and because we suck air off the passenger floor and then run that air through the evaporator, the hole is dirty because the oil's there, and so you can see it just as plain as day. So it's not a good idea to put a sniffer against the vent because you can have the air conditioning off and the sniffer will yell Freon. So, and $700 is a fair price for the evaporator, but I've already told you what my fear is, and I already told you that I would not be happy if that's my shop. And if you turn around and say that's my shop, I'm going to hang up on you. Okay?
No, but so what's a good diagnostic fee to find out where my leak is at?
It's real simple. All we do is put dye in it and then bring you back 30 days later. So we put dye in it, and under a black light, it's orange or pink or yellow or green, and we're going to look for it. Now, here's what happens. The guys will go through the underneath the hood, and they won't find it, so they'll go, okay, it's the evaporator. Nope, that ain't good enough for Mark Salem and many other shop owners. I want to see the dye. Now, when was the last time it was serviced?
Oh, about a year or so.
Okay. You also can feed the leak. I mean, how much did you pay?
The only thing I've seen at the front is greasy residue on the driver's side of the condenser.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, we circulate oil in the system. So if you've got an area of a refrigeration line and you got a whole bunch of road film and dirt on it, I think that's the place I would look hardest.
And what he did say is, he said he did find a leak around the dryer, and he fixed that.
Okay.
And then after he recharged it, that's when he said he could smell a smelly smell out from underneath the dash.
Okay. I just don't like any of it. I'm not there, and I'm telling everybody right now, I'm not there. I'm working off of what Nick is saying in my ears, but I don't like that. If he fixed something at the dryer, then did he just tighten the fitting? And if he tightened the fitting, then why did he put new Freon in it? Because why didn't you just top it off? So why wouldn't you do that? Unless he had an O-ring or a fitting that was bad and he took it apart and then put it back together. I don't know the answer to that. I just don't like what I'm hearing. And the dogs don't like what they're hearing either. So
yeah,
I got to run.
Like it either, yeah.
All right, Nick, good luck to you, buddy. Good luck. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Another shop in town that's really, really good is Kurt's Auto, I-17 and Bell Road, northeast corner, and that dog barking in the back is about ready to eat the FedEx guy, and I'm sorry about that. Nevertheless, if you live in the area of I-17 and Bell in the northeast corner, Kurt's, and there's about 20 shops on my list, 20 to 30, they're all good guys. They're all smart, and they take care of their customers. But Kurt's is really special for this reason. A couple of times I've sent people to him that had problems, but they geographically weren't in my area. I'm in Tempe. So I sent them to Kurtz, and both times he waved his magic wand and fixed them, and I ended up getting a call back with an attaboy, and I really like that. I really like when I refer somebody there, and they call me back, and they say, great experience, loved them. And then my answer is, thank you very much for calling me. However, call me in 6 months and make sure that we're set. Make sure that your air conditioning is working. Okay, who's next?
Say good morning to Pam.
Pam, good morning.
Good morning. Dumb question, because I don't have too much information from you. Of course, it was my boyfriend that bought this. I'm not quite sure. He won't tell me if it's an 02 or an 03 Dodge.
Okay.
It's like, supposedly, it's like equal to a half ton. It's two-wheel drive, and that's about all I know, not the mileage or anything. But the day he bought it, it broke down on the way. Well, it broke down in Payson.
Okay.
And he stayed there for 2 days waiting for his friend to tow him. Then he got it up to Holbrook, where it sits, and he determined on his own it was a fuel pump. So he replaced the fuel pump. I said, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. No, he did. And now it wouldn't start, and he's done everything, and he got a guy with a diagnostic. Sounds fairly competent for a mechanic, but this is what bothers me. He says the computer blew out, and the computer's got to get fixed, and when the computer's fixed, I said, the truck's going to run? That's what blew out the computer. It doesn't make sense. I think if he reattaches the computer, it will blow out again. What would make a computer blow out, and how do you replace them, and what guarantee do you have you're going to be able to fix your truck after that?
Well, first of all, that's an easy thing to say, is that it blew out the computer. The problem is that it's very difficult to diagnose it, and I would tell you that if I hear the word you need a computer 100 times, 90 times out of the 100, there's a second repair. Oh, I fixed the computer, but your ignition module and your distributor's bad. Or I fixed the computer, and I'll be darned, the fuel pressure regulator was bad. So there's always a second repair. So if your boyfriend replaced the fuel pump in the tank, I'd be looking there first. But the answer to your question is, I don't have anybody in Holbrook. I'm sorry.
Where would be the closest place you could tow it to?
I think Payson.
Back down to Payson. I told him to stay there.
Yeah.
I said, you had the radio show there. He's in Payson. He's on the radio. What are you doing?
No, I live in Tempe, though. I live in Tempe. This is where I bring my horses for the summer. And then in the winter, I take them back down there. Obviously, I come up here on Saturdays and Sundays and sometimes Mondays. But Coyote Automotive in Payson, his name is Dan. Coyote Automotive in Payson. His name is Dan. Let me tell you a quick story. My shop put a differential in an elderly lady's motorhome. She only made it to Payson. We made a mistake because after you put this differential in, you're supposed to lift up the left rear and flood the right rear hub. Otherwise, we overfill the differential, and we want to put oil in this sump, in this indentation, and the bearings are there. Well, we didn't. We didn't flood the rear end. So she only made it there. The entire rear end is wiped out. So I called around to the parts stores, and they all told me he pays his bills. He's a good guy. He doesn't return parts. Otherwise, he doesn't say, I need a computer for this, and then he brings it back, and he goes, oh, it doesn't work. Which means it's not the computer. He doesn't do that. And I said, how long has he been in business? Does he pay his bill? And how often does he return parts? New parts that have been installed. They go, no, no, no. So I called him up and I said, my name is Mark Salem. That doesn't mean anything to you, but you got a motorhome there. I'm paying the whole bill. Fix it. He says, send me a differential. I said, I will. So I sent him a differential. He put it in, and then he went and drove it, and he flooded the hubs, and she made it all the way to Colorado. And so I'm referring him because I've already seen him in action. I know he's an honest guy, and not too long ago, I sent my mother-in-law. She lives in Payson there. And he said, Mark, it's a 2008 Suburban. It's 12, 13 years old, and she's got original hoses and belts. And I says, I know that. Just replace them. And without me asking him, he put all the old hoses and belts in the back of the Suburban in a plastic bag. Well, those are extras. So I hide them in the back of her car in the Suburban, and I say to her, if you blow a belt in the middle of nowhere in Holbrook on a Sunday afternoon, you got one in the back of your truck that'll get you home. Same way with a hose. So I'm done doing a commercial for a Coyote, but if you're going to bring it anywhere.
Coyote Automotive in Payson.
In Payson. His name is Dan. And don't say I sent you. Because and if you do say I sent you, here's what you need to know. I don't make any money on your bill. If he said to me, I'll give you 10% of the bill, I said, I'm not going to refer anybody to you after this. I don't do that. So, and you need to know that I'm not making any money on your bill. So if you're going to haul it from Holbrook, then the closest place I can recommend is Coyote in Payson. All right, Pam, thank you. Good luck to you. And I'm going to put here T-O-T Coyote. And that way my wife will know that that's the call. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got another hour of fun and frivolity. You're more than welcome to join us. We're going to be out of here at noon. And I'm going to be done with this segment in 1 minute, according to Gil. Now, see, Gil works the studio in Phoenix, and he talks in one ear, and I hear you in another ear. Sometimes Gil comes to work, and he doesn't brush his teeth. And I'm telling you what, it's difficult for me to do the radio show when we are tied so close together.
Aren't we though, Mark?
And I can smell his breath over the microphone. So he's a great guy, and I hit all my marks with Gil. And he's one of the best engineers I've ever worked for. And if this show sounds great, and all the in and out of the commercials are nice and smooth, that's Gil. That's what he does. And he's in the radio world and the traffic world all of his life. But of all the guys I've been working for since 1988, he's in the top three of all the guys I worked for with respect to bailing my butt out when I make a mistake. Well, 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, we've got another hour of fun and frivolity. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. Gil, we got anybody in queue?
Phone lines are wide open, Mark.
Phone lines are wide open. There's five of them. And sitting next to me, what's your name?
Yeah, I heard you misbehaving, so I decided I better come in and get you back on track.
You know, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. I'm going to do a spot about Action Auto Repair, and then I'm going to argue with you about that. That's my wife, Renee.
Okay.
And she's been we've been business partners since 1979.
Right.
And she handles the money. She handles the money, and she handles the money.
And I try to handle you, but are incorrigible.
And that may be true, but it's true. We're well known as Snow White and Jack the Ripper, and it's well known that if you get called into my office, it ain't going to be a good conversation, right?
Correct.
And if they get called into your office, there's likely to get a hug.
Yes.
Okay. That's people need to know that because we work that way real well.
Right, we do.
And with our kids the same way, right?
True.
It's true. And they've actually adopted that to somewhat extent because Allison's pretty strong, tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alan, I don't know. I think maybe Heather is a little...
Yeah,
more.
I think he can be strong when he wants to be. He doesn't have to be all the time because he's big enough. He can do whatever he wants.
No, okay. All right.
And Andy. Andy's very strong, too.
Yeah.
But yet she's very nice.
Yep, all three of them. Mm-hmm. Andy runs our operation. Mm-hmm. On her business card, it says full-time. Oh, first of all, she's CEO, CFO. She handles the money and she handles everything else, including her older brother. But on her business card, it says full-time babysitter for the men at Salem Boys. Mm-hmm. And that people love that.
Yeah, and that fits her.
It fits her. It mm-hmm. fits her good. Okay, yeah. Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. I've known Tom since 1989 or early, mid-80s. Whatever your repair needs are, and you live up near Deer Valley and the I-17, Action Auto Repairs on the northwest corner of I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom's a good guy. Full service operation, family owned. He served the Deer Valley and North Phoenix area since 1983 is when he started in business. I knew him actually before that. So if you don't have a shop, he has ASC certified mechanics or technicians, Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. And Gil, somebody's on the phone.
That's right. We have Dan.
Dan, good morning. How can I help you?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
I just want to get your opinion on something. A couple years back, I got a notice in the mail that my a recall notice saying that the passenger side airbag could explode and injure a lot of people in the car. So I had to take it back to be serviced. Or if it had to be fixed.
Okay.
That was in February. And up to that time, the car was fine. I didn't have any problem with it. The air conditioner was fine. Everything was okay. I took the car in. They said they fixed it. About a month later, it was March. The weather started to get warm, and I wanted to use the air conditioner, and it wouldn't work. Blow warm air. So I took it back to them, and they told me the evaporator coil in the dashboard was leaked. There was no injuries. There was no nothing in it anymore. So I was in a bad situation. My wife needs air conditioning in the car, so I told them to fix it, and they charged me a big bunch of money to fix it. I'm just wondering, is there... When they replaced whatever was in the dashboard to fix the airbag thing, do they come in contact with that evaporator coil?
I'm 99% sure that the evaporator coil was right in the area they were working. Let me help you with this.
I mean, I can't do anything about it now. I'm just very curious, and it did bother me for a long time.
Okay. You'd have to know where the leak was that they fixed, and you'd also have to know. Here's the big picture. If that evaporator had to be removed in order to get that airbag out, then it's their fault. If the evaporator didn't get moved and they put the airbag in, it's not their fault. However, it depends on where the leak is at. If the leak is a puncture in one of the finned areas where the pipes are, where the crossovers are, then it's not likely that your wife stuck anything in the vent and popped that or put a hole in it. Or if they had repositioned it incorrectly and it had a rub mark on it that you didn't have before. Did you ask for your old part back?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's a mistake. That's I tell people all the time. And you know why? Here's why. For Mark Salem, I mean, I've done this since day one, haven't we?
Yep, we have.
And here's two reasons. Number one, I tell you, hang on to your part till you know your car's fixed because of this reason. If I didn't fix it right, I'm going to put your old part back in, okay? I have to unwind that first repair order, but at least I don't have to leave my new part in there. Number two, it's easy for you to see the problem with the part when we explain it to you. And number four... it reduces my trash bill because you take your own trash home. So you should have asked for the old part. That would have told the story. Now,
if you ask for the old part, how do you know you get your old part back?
Oh, and see, that would be fraud. So what you'd do is you'd get on the internet and you'd type in your car and you go, evaporator, and they have a picture of it, and then you hold it there and you go, uh-oh, this doesn't look like that. So, I mean, it's easy for us to figure that out, Dan. One other thing. The time to deal with this was then, and it's unfortunate but what I'm going to do for you, do you have email? Can you do email?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Mark@MarkSalem.com. Mark@MarkSalem.com. And give me all the information on your car. Year, make, model, engine, stuff like that. Okay? I'm going to look it up in the book to see if part of the replacement of the passenger side airbag, part of that replacement is the removal and reinstallation of the evaporator core. Now, the airbag may, let's pretend, the airbag may pay 1.1 hours. So if my labor rate's 100 or 125 or whatever the heck it is, that's 1.1 times $100 or whatever. But if the evaporator, less the recharge, if the evaporator is 3.1 hours, then, they didn't touch the evaporator. But if the airbag is 1.6 and the evaporator is 1.8, they're side by side. So you send me all the information and perhaps maybe even the VIN number off your registration. And the question to me is simple. Are they together? Are they side by side? Okay?
Okay. And I'll tell you what they charged me to do this job.
Wait, I can guess. $1,100.
$1,700.
Oh, boy. I'm glad. Well, I was shooting from the hip, though.
that was in my head, too, $1,100, and so I don't know what else they did for that. But
well, we don't know if it's got that new YF, that 1234 YF.
Yeah.
And you weren't here for the first hour, but let me tell you what I did the first hour. You remember that guy that came in with YF?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If he would have had the old refrigerant, the R134.
Right.
It would have cost him $64.90 for the refrigerant.
Right.
The new stuff was $311.50.
I couldn't believe it when I saw that work order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't see the 64.
I didn't see the 64.
Yeah. But you know why you didn't?
Because you did it after I left.
No, I did it this morning, and it took me 2 hours to get the math to do that. There's 28 grams to an ounce, and then you got to go da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
My math skills aren't that good, but it took me a while.
Yes.
And then I called Botsko, and I said, is this the right number? I have a friend of mine who's a mathematic.
You're a computer expert, yeah.
Exactly.
Or you're a mathematician expert.
You're exactly right. Okay, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we got a caller. Who might that be?
Say hello to Dave.
Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes, I have a question about older transmissions back in the 70s, like mid-70s, which had the vacuum...
Modulator.
Modulator. Is it true if you have a bad modulator and the fluid is getting up to it, will that cause white or kind of blue smoke to emit from the tailpipe?
I'm going to answer your question, and you'll get it. When we were kids, you remember in the old cars, you had a pump pedal on your left where that dimmer switch would normally be, and you had windshield washers, and you had to take your left foot and pump the pump, and then it would squirt windshield washer fluid on your windshield. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'm older than you are. Okay. We used to take those two nozzles and we put them in the carburetor, in the air filter, and aim them at the carburetor. So this is when we were kids. We'd pull up to a traffic light on Main Street in Mesa on Friday night when all the kids were out, and then you'd start pumping that thing and you'd rev the motor up, and the smoke out of the tailpipe would have a dense white smoke that nobody could see the intersection for at least 2 weeks. And we had so much fun with that. And it was the other guys. I just happened to see them.
You just happened to be in the car. Yeah.
And they surprised me with that. It was a pollution problem.
Okay.
And the answer to your question is it's not going to be blue. It's going to be white, and it's going to be a hell of a white.
Okay.
And so if you put a modulator in it, and it'll be on the vacuum side, the modulator screws into the transmission, and on the outside of the modulator is a nipple that has a rubber line going to it. When you pull that rubber line on and look inside with a flashlight, if that son of a gun coated with transmission fluid, we're done. That's as easy as it is.
Okay. Will the transmission still operate, though?
Yeah, it won't shift right, but yes, it'll still operate. Okay. And until you pull all the fluid out of it, and then it's not going to move.
Okay, because that's what I'm getting out is white smoke, and I just wasn't sure if it was an engine issue or
no, it is
possibly
the engine is sucking, and those are vacuum lines, and so the engine is sucking to the modulator, and when you throttle it up all the way, there is no vacuum, and so this modulator shifts. But there's vacuum to it, so the engine is not the problem. The engine is the symptom. So we're sucking transmission fluid out of the engine, and we're burning it through the cylinders and sending it out the tailpipe as white smoke.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Hey, where do you
Alrighty.
Live? What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Prescott.
Oh. This isn't a big deal, but don't you go in there and say that the guy on the radio said the modulator's bad. You say, and you find a gray-haired guy, and if you want to find somebody in Prescott, do this. Go to the auto parts store and say, I want to know a gray-haired guy that's been around 20 years, that pays his bill, and he doesn't return parts after he tries and installs them on the car. Who is that? And he'll tell you. Then you go to him and you say, hey, I got white smoke intermittently coming out of the tailpipe, and I've had to add a little transmission fluid. He's going to say, it's a modulator. He's going to put it on the lift. He's going to pull the line. The transmission fluid's going to come out. He's going to go, I'm going to replace this. And I bet your repair isn't $100. So that's how I would find a good shop in Prescott. I wish I could guide you, but the auto parts grizzly guys know the car repair grizzly guys. So you don't want to have some kid up there with three whiskers and be asking him who pays their bill. You want to gravitate over to the gray-haired grizzly guy and ask him who the best shop is in town. Anyway, I got to run, Dave. Thank you very much. And the lines are open, 602-508-0960. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is my wife, Renee. We've been in business together since 1979. She was at the Valley Bank right after we got married, and I was a policeman. And then in 1979, we decided to open up a gas station.
That's right.
And we've been fixing cars now. Admittedly, she's got the paper cuts, and I got grease under my fingernails. Would that be clear?
That's true.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Neil, you're up first.
Yes, Mark, I have a 96 Jeep Cherokee with a 4-liter engine. It appears like I got a radiator leak down near the bottom. It's seeping from the tank on the passenger side.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, can I take it to a radiator repair shop, or do I have to buy a new radiator?
All the way up through the 90s and even in the 2000 to 2010, there was radiator shops in town. Today there isn't. There's only one, Performance Radiator. It's on just north of the 10. I think that's the 51 or the...
It's the
202.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you are far better off to just buy a radiator in a box. You're far better off. That's all.
Okay.
Now I'll tell you, when we use Performance Radiator, it's a 34 Chevrolet Hot Rod. Okay? That's when we use them to build us a radiator or fix a custom radiator. But other than that, and they do a great job, but other than that, knowing what I know today, I would suggest that you get a, and you would say, are you going to have a shop do it?
No, I've already got the radiator out.
Okay, then what I would do if I were you is I would call those three or four auto parts store and give them the application and say, how much is that radiator, and do you have different levels? Do you have a good, better, best, or have you got good and best? Tell me where we're at, call all three of them and then decide. Oh, and ask them what the warranty is, and then decide where you want to go.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there one brand better than another?
Let me tell you something. I wouldn't worry about brands at all. And if some young buck at the auto parts store says that theirs better than everybody else, then Mark Salem doesn't know. If you put 10 radiators in front of me, I would install all of them in a car. Here's why. There's not too many radiator manufacturers. So you can imagine tires. Tires on, brand new Michelin tires on a car. Those tires were made by Michelin no matter who sold them. So radiators and spark plugs and ball joints and what else? Belts and hoses, they can be made by a variety of different vendors. There's no such thing as a Dodge part. It's in a Dodge box, but it certainly wasn't made by Dodge. Neither was Ford, neither was Chevy, neither was Honda, neither was Toyota. There's no such factory that makes those products. The products, most of the time, come from China, and they're put in a box with someone else's name on it. And I sell those, too, because I don't have a choice. But as far as you're concerned, I'd be shopping price if I were you.
Price and warranty, probably.
Yeah. Thank you for that, price and warranty. Anyway, good luck to you, Neil. Dave, you're up next.
Mark, I've got a 2004 Jaguar XJ8, beautiful car, one problem. I've got this clunking sound under the front left side. I've had the upper control arms changed, lower control arms changed, swing arms bushings all in the past year, and I still hit a bump and I feel like I'm in an old rickety bed. What do I do?
Well, who's been doing all that diagnosis? Who's the one that dictated all that work?
I got to tell you, my Jaguar guy in North Scottsdale, who's been working on my car for over 10 years, he did the...
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who made that decision? Did you go in and say, I want you to do the lower control arm bushings because you went to Google?
No. Oh, no. I'm a lawyer. I don't know anything about cars. Trust me. I just listened to these guys, and they told me what to do.
Okay.
And then after they did it, I said, fellas, it's still doing the same old thing, and they're looking at me like I'm wrong. But I know this car inside and out. I've had it for 16 years.
Okay.
And
all right.
So it's still got the same problem.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're a lawyer. Okay. All right. That would no, but let me explain. Let me explain. And really, I mean this from my heart. I work with lawyers every day. I'm an expert. And so I'm working on plaintiffs and the defense. I'm working for insurance companies and the police and the county attorney. I work on all those. So I have tremendous respect for good lawyers. And I know my fair share of bad ones, but the overwhelming majority of the lawyers that I work with that work for insurance companies and are plaintiffs in defense, I like. I don't work for guys that want to stick their hand up the back of my shirt and work my mouth, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, so, I do.
Okay. To be honest with you, I know what shop you're talking about, and I've had the utmost respect for them, but I'm sad to hear your story. I think what I would do is go back and say to them, I'm going to demonstrate the problem. You come with me, whether it's the owner or his top tech. Make sure he's clean. Get in the car, and I'm going to make it happen. Then we're going to switch places, and I'm going to teach him how to make it happen. And then after we get done and we get this fixed, I'd like very much to sit down with you in private, and maybe you and I can come to some kind of an agreement with respect to the other two repairs that really didn't fix what I wanted you to fix. Now, how many miles on the XJ?
140.
Okay. I would pay, if I was the shop owner, I would say to you, the expected life on those might be 200,000 miles, so I'll split the bill with you. Or maybe it's a 60-40 or something like that, because they're depreciated. You know that. So,
sure,
you know,
sure.
I'm giving you new bushings. They're going to go another 150,000 miles. So let's just sit down, and you put your lawyer hat on and do your negotiating.
Mark, to be honest with you, whatever it would cost, I really don't care. This is such a beautiful car to ride. The engine transmission still purrs. I just want it done. I don't think I no longer trust this guy after 10, 11 years. I'd like to know who else to take the car to have him take a look at it.
Okay, go over to Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway. 40th Street and Greenway.
Yeah?
Tell Tom Blackwell that Mark Salem said he didn't have a prayer in hell of finding it and fixing this, and you're not going to wait the rest of your life for an appointment. So get me in as quick as you can. Let me know how much it's going to cost, and I'm going to hold your butt to it, and get in the car because I'm going to take you for a ride and show you how to make it happen. That's what I do.
Great advice. Thanks, Mark.
All right, good luck. Thank you. Lawyers.
Oh, stop.
I'm
Don't
teasing
get going.
No,
I know.
I really have some favorites.
I know you do.
I work with guys. Now, you know, I've been doing this since, what's my first case, 91?
I think that was it, yes.
Okay. You know that I've got, especially the recent woman and some other ones, that I won't work for ever again.
Sure.
They're unreasonable. They want to stick their hand up and move your mouth. They want to draft your report. Then they want to wordsmith it. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is out of the question.
1 minute.
Yep.
And I'm not, you know that I will say to a lawyer, after he gives me all the information, how many times a year do I say I'd rather be on the other side?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
One or two sometimes.
And sometimes the attorney will say, fine, I want you on my side to tell me where the weaknesses of my case are.
Right.
And sometimes they'll say, sayonara.
Yep.
Hasta la vista.
Because they will find somebody that will say what they want.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, lawyers are like auto mechanics. We're in the same boat.
Right.
You know, universally we're well known for ripping people off and blah, blah, blah. The only difference is we got greasy hands and they've got those used car salesman suits.
Mark, stop it.
Oh, I'm going to get some flack for that, but you know what? I don't care. Now, Mel can call me.
Yeah.
And he has my cell phone, but just Mel. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back. After the hour of 11 o'clock, if you'd like to join us, the lines are wide open. There's five of them, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And you know, I am happy to share with you my list of the best car repair shops. Transmission shops, paint and body shops, diesel shops, all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to open this door just this time. If anything from a divorce to a personal injury case, the lawyers that I would hire myself mm-hmm. are not on TV. And you know why? It's because they're already swamped. So it's a situation where if there's a lawyer out there that works for an insurance company and you're going to sue an insurance company, then talking to him is not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. He's probably not going to defend you, but he's going to tell you who he respects. He's going to tell you who's good when he's opposite of me. That kind of stuff. So if you need a lawyer, and then, of course, Renee knows good divorce lawyers, and she'll share that with you as well. But Auto Dynamics is in Sun City. It's the largest and most trusted source. Complete automotive services. Family-owned and operated since 1982. I've known Chuck Nide and his son Derek for a very long time, and Chuck even before 1982. So their staff and their mechanics are not paid a commission or a percentage of your repair bill. Therefore, they can insure that you won't be sold unnecessary parts or repairs. So if you're looking for a good shop in Sun City or the best shop in Sun City, Auto Dynamics, north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. And we've got a caller, says Gil.
I do. And it's Nettie.
Nettie? Is Nettie rhyme with Eddie?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I just needed to get that straight. Go ahead.
For you. My son has a F-250 diesel. He was in an accident. He hit a donkey. Going 50 miles an hour, no airbags deployed.
Ooh.
Okay. It's not necessarily how fast you're going. It's how abruptly you stop. So let me give you an example. If he hits a tree at 40 miles an hour, he's going to get an airbag in his face, because the tree doesn't move. But if he hits a VW, God forbid, if he hits a VW bug at 40, 50 miles an hour, that truck's going to keep on moving, and it's entirely possible he won't deploy the airbag. So we have to have an instantaneous loss of speed. So in the blink of an eye, we go from 40 to 8. That airbag's going to hit you in the face. But that now, if the airbag light was on before the accident, he should not have ignored that, because the airbag light on means the airbag system is down. So, but
and what about if he didn't hit it right head on? Sometimes, because I think that happened to you when you hit the car wash wall when you're doing some silly stuff, and the airbag didn't go off too.
Why would there be? That would be a necessary thing to say, huh?
I don't know.
You know that I. You know. I'm going to turn your mic off if you just keep doing that. Let me explain what she's saying, okay? I want you to picture this big piece of slick concrete in front of our self-serve car wash. Okay? You got it?
Okay.
And when the kids were small, I would, as we were out, we'd drive by the car wash to make sure everything's okay. And there's a wet bay there. And so I'd pull through the wet bay with whatever hot rod I was driving. And then I'd pull around the front. And then I'd throttle it up and do a couple of spins. And okay. Then that became, hey, Dad, take us on a spin through the car wash. That and they loved that. And I would do that on a regular basis. It's on private property. I own the property. And I did it successfully. So one night...
It wasn't successful.
It wasn't successful. I went out there and I did a couple of swirls with my daughter, my youngest daughter, Andy, in the car. All of a sudden, I hit a dry patch of concrete. My Suburban was launched into a wall. There was a big Ballard in front of it. The bumper hit the Ballard. The Ballard went to a 45 angle, which just lifted the truck off the ground, and the airbag never deployed. But it cost about $15,000 to put that truck back together. And my wife, who was sitting there watching the whole thing, used lots of bad language. Words that you've never heard out of a woman's mouth. And then, so I parked the truck at the shop, which is next door. And the next morning when I got to work, my staff had wrapped the entire truck with crime tape.
Yeah.
So that's the story, but,
1 minute.
You know, if there's an accident and you think that that needs to be checked out, then you would notify your insurance company. And they would help you. But that's what I would do. But okay. If it was a soft hit, then I've explained it to you, okay?
Oh, no. Yeah. He hit it directly, and it did about $10,000 worth of damage.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would be...
But I will contact them.
Okay. What year diesel is it?
2019.
Okay. I can tell you that it has a black box on it. It has a black box. Has anybody read the black box?
No, this just happened about 3 days ago. It hasn't even been fixed.
Okay. I would have the insurance company call someone to gather the data, but I want to tell you something. This data cuts both ways. So your son says, I'm driving along and something happened and I was doing 35 and the speed limit was 45 and I hit the brakes. And here's what the black box says. He's doing 95 miles an hour. He never hit the brakes. The steering wheel didn't even turn right or left. And he was looking at his girlfriend. So really and truly, have your insist in a nice way. I would like you to gather the data, and I would like you to give me a printed copy. Thank you. I need to know. And that's it. And is an independent shop going to fix it, or did you take it to a Ford dealer?
I took it to Ford, and they sent it somewhere.
Okay.
El Mirage
has it. Someplace in El Mirage.
El Mirage is northern. I'm sure you know it.
Okay. All right. It's going to be... My email is mark@marksalem.com. It's going to cost you.
I'll email you when I get home.
Okay, but here's the problem. It's somebody's going to charge you to go out there and gather the data. I'm thinking your insurance company will do it for free. So, but yes, send me an email and I'll do what I can for you. And you remember, when I first got my software, I know I got to take a break. When I first got my software, our daughter, don't say her name, was involved in a collision.
Right.
And I had just got the software, so I went to her car and I pulled out the data of the black box.
Right.
And what was the outcome?
She wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
And she didn't tell anything truth about it.
Yeah.
She pulled out in front of a car. And the whole thing said that she didn't tell us the truth. Now, admittedly, she is 16, 17 years old, and very few kids tell. But their dad's not Mark Salem that can read the black box. And she says, I tried to stop. No, honey, you never even hit the brake. You rear-ended the car in front of you, and you never hit the brake. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Luckily, she was
that's
okay.
What, yep. All right, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Take the Patriot.
Okay, 44 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960. I can take two calls, 602-508-0960. I want to tell you something real quick.
Okay.
I went through my phone on all the spam calls.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many of them were these three numbers after either 480 or 602.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So there was a whole bunch of them with 210 in the middle.
Okay.
And 218 and 221.
Really?
A whole bunch of them.
Right.
And they leave stupid messages, your car warranty's out, and all that other kind
of
stuff.
I must have 10,000 of those.
Okay.
Yes.
So it was either 602 or 480 or 623, but the middle numbers, 210, 218, and 221, bingo, bingo, bingo. So when they start calling, I'm blocking them.
Right. Yeah, I'm
unless, of course, someone calls us and tells us that they have a 210, and then I'm going to apologize for my misinformation.
Sure.
So if you have a number that has the middle number of 210 and then four numbers after it, 210, 218, or 221, then I need to know, 602-508-0960. Okay, this is a want ad for my shop.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an automobile technician and you want to work Monday through Friday and you'll have health insurance, life, dental, 401k with a 50 match?
Up to 5%,
up to 5%. Sick pay, vacation pay, and continuing education allowance per year, then we'd like to see you. We'd like to hear from you. So if you're a technician, we hopefully that you have to have 5 years experience.
Right.
And hopefully you're universal. You work on all makes and models, repairs and maintenance. But we have guys that are really good in this and really good in that. So we can fit. If you have diesel experience,
that's
what a plus.
Better. Yeah.
Again, Monday through Friday, health insurance, life, dental, 401k with match, sick pay, vacation pay, continuing education. So you're going to send us an email, mark@salemboysauto.com. mark@salemboysauto.com. And so, and then we'll be getting back with you. So I had to do that because my daughter said I had to do that. Okay, I'm going to get to the phone in just 1 second, but I got to do something else real quick. Okay, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair, another really good diesel shop, is up in North Phoenix. He's on Pinnacle Peak and I-17. Nate's been around a long time. All you have to do is meet that guy, shake his hand, and you'll know why I think so highly of him. As a matter of fact, he's one of the few people in the world that could marry one of my daughters if they weren't both already married. Mm-hmm. He's just a great guy. And he's honest and dependable. And Chevy, Ford, Dodge, he knows it all. So he's up at Pinnacle Peak and I-17, Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. And we have a caller. Gil?
That would be Joshua.
Josh, how are you, buddy?
Hi, I was just sitting here listening to a show and just... I'm wondering what this is all about. Like, what is this radio station about? Because I'm just sitting here, kind of bored in my house, you know, spring break and all that, or is this the weekend?
I'm
just wondering, what is this show about?
It's about cars.
Oh, about cars, okay.
Yeah. I'm a 40-year veteran, and I'm an ASE master, and I've been fixing cars since 1979, and I've been on the radio since 1988. And the purpose of this show is to share my knowledge with people, and I don't beat my chest and tell everybody where I work and all that other kind of stuff and actually refer them to other people. And I've only been arrested once in my life, and I didn't face any charges. And I was a former policeman, and I'm a cowboy, and I have gelded many horses in case you don't like me.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like a good show.
Well, thank you.
Just any questions about cars?
You go right ahead if you have one.
Well, I mean, I have a 2013 Honda Civic.
Okay.
Basically, I mean, I'm just asking, you know, I forgot my question.
First of all, the Honda is a good line. From the carbureted ones in the 80s and stuff were not very good, but those are all gone anyway. But the fuel injected four cylinders and V6 Honda certainly is in the top five of all my cars. There's only five kinds of cars that dominate the fleet. Of all the cars in the United States, there's only five of them that have double digits. Otherwise, they're 11% of the fleet, 12% of the fleet, 10 to north of that. The rest of the cars are what we call single digits. They're 1%ers, 2%ers. There's a whole lot of cars out there that represent 1% of all the cars on the road, and Tesla is less than 1% of all the cars on the road. So the sheer numbers of cars, but in the top five, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, Hondas are right up there with the big dogs with respect to reliability and safety. So you have a nice car. But if you remember what you called or what you question you had, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, and I'm happy to answer your email. I'll do the best I can. Renee.
Or we're here Saturdays from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
You can call back in.
Thank you. We're here Saturdays 10 to 12. Okay, I've done everything I need to do. I guess we'll just start talking about what we're going to do for the rest of the day.
We are.
Oh, what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
I want to make sure you get my honey-do list done.
Yeah, no kidding. I can hardly wait for that. And so just to kind of clear up, you weren't here, but we talked about Coyote Automotive
okay.
in Payson. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a car broke down. It needed, I think it was a computer or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm uncomfortable with the wrap, and so she says, where can I tow it? I said, where's it at? Holbrook, I think she said. Okay, bring it down to Dan's, so just to kind of fill you in. I had a Jaguar that I sent over to Blackwell. I know I shouldn't have, but
right.
I'm still suffering from drinking last night.
Oh, God.
and then we've had a lot of other callers. But, folks, you can also email me your questions, mark@marksalem.com. Let me tell you about a conversation I had the other day.
Okay.
I had a conversation with a guy, and just a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he had had a situation where it was really an ugly situation.
Okay.
But he was really nice about it, and he wasn't nearly upset about it as much as I was. So it was just unusual. I had another conversation with a guy, and no one's ever said this before.
Okay.
He said, Shop A said I need a new transmission.
Okay.
I'm considering Shop M.
Okay.
But I'm concerned that if I go, and Shop A does all my oil changes, my tire rotations, and does all my work, they're very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go across town to M, and then they come in for next oil change, are they going to be mad because my transmission that they diagnosed and bid was bad, and it was,
okay,
that I have a, obviously, new transmission in
somebody
the car.
Somebody else do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say?
How would you answer it? You beat me to the punch. What would you say?
I think we're pretty... Okay. I mean, we would prefer to have done it, but there was some reason why we didn't get the job. I don't know what that was. Maybe talk to him and, you know, ask him, but I'd probably just let it go.
And that's what I said.
Yeah.
I said, you know, that's just one of those deep, dark holes that once you go in, you can't get out.
Right.
So we would ignore. I mean, if the guys came to me off the floor and said, I'd say, ignore it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Now, I might say, just from an educational point of view, Mrs. Salem, I noticed that you had your transmission done.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, how did my price compare with what you had done?
Sure.
And she says, well, they were $800 cheaper. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you check the transmission shop out? Yeah, it was so-and-so. Mm-hmm. They're a good guy. That's a good shop.
Right.
And then if it was a bad shop, I would say what I always say. Do you know what I always say?
No.
Because people ask me about shops I don't like.
If I don't have anything good to say, I won't say anything.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what I say. Well, mm-hmm. That sometimes is a variety of reasons.
Right.
But, yes, if I don't have anything good to say, I would prefer just
to
say
quiet. Or I hadn't heard anything or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know who you're talking about. I make something up. Yeah. It just depends
on. You're good at that.
Yeah. I am. My dad used to say, if bull boop was snow, I'd be a walking blizzard.
Correct.
And so
you are kind of a blizzard. Yeah.
This is your last show. I can tell you that much. You'll never happen to be here again.
Yes.
Anyway, car repair is not simple, but here's your self-defense for car expense. It's real simple. When you take your car in for maintenance, be prepared for a list of stuff that you need. Ask them to give you an idea of what your owner's manual says for each and every item on the list they give you. Now, if your owner's manual calls for a transmission service at 60 and you're at 80, they're right and you're wrong. On the other hand, if it calls for a 60,000 mile service and they want to do it at 20 or 30, you need to ask why. And that should also be somewhat of a flag, not a red flag, maybe a yellow flag, a caution flag. So on a maintenance items, just be care of the lawn, just beware of the laundry list. Now, you take your car in for a particular problem. We love it if you just write down all that stuff so that you can talk directly to the technician. So when you come in, you verbalize it to the service writer, but at the same time, bring us a written document. This is how you make it happen. Do this, do this, go this fast, hit the brake, turn right, turn left, you know, that kind of stuff. That really helps. Then when they call you with the estimate, ask them specifically, because you're interested in whether the estimate has the shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax, which can be 20% of your bill. So on a $100 job, that $100 estimate goes to $120. But I want to tell you, I think, tell me if you think I'm right, I think 80% of the good shops out there are going to overbid so they can come in underneath the estimate and be a hero.
I agree.
We do that all the time, and
right.
We learned it from someone else.
Or if you have a little part, you don't have to call them back and say, hey, this is going to be, you know, $18 more or something like that. You've already got a little bit of padding in there, and then...
It's easy.
Yeah.
And so we don't call twice or three times or
right.
four times. So
right.
then you look them in the eye and you say, or you send them an email and say, look, I don't want guessing. So you said that it's going to cost $311 to fix the fact that my windshield wipers flap intermittently on Thursday at noon. And I'm going to put you on notice that I want to make sure you fixed it. It's important. And I use the stupid example of the windshield wipers.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you a good idea of what I'm talking about. So I want to make sure, and I want my old parts back. And, of course, you pay with a credit card. Because if the shop gets kind of poopy with you, you can stop payment or ask the credit card company to not pay the bill. And then, of course, most of the shops, and us included, will pay attention to the fact that the credit card, MasterCharge, Visa, American Express, Discover, whatever, said, you know what, we have a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to honor that. There's a lot of shops out there that are good guys. I'm far from the best shop in town. I'm certainly in the top 10, but there's guys out there that I aspire to be like. But from the same token, how many times have we had a credit card stopped in the last year, 5 years, 10 years?
I can think of one maybe, but not...
How long ago was that?
Oh, probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's a dispute resolution process
sure.
where the shop writes and the customer writes and the shop yeah. writes and customers writes and stuff
yeah.
like that.
But
if the ticket's $60, $70, $80, $90, $100, we don't usually fight that.
No.
We just flag your file that you stop payment on your credit card, and the next time you come in, we might hit you in the face with a really big bill. Because that's a nice way to tell someone to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So how much do you want to rotate my tires? Well, ma'am, that's $2,645. And then obviously the message is we don't want to work on your car.
Right.
And so then ask for your old parts back. I don't want my old oil filter, but I want the old parts put back in the box that the new one came in. Just put them in the trunk of my car. My husband will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or my brother, who's an engineer, likes to take these parts apart and see what's wrong with them. Come up with some kind of story. And you'll notice that I'm really good at coming up to those stories, but you need to know that I was a policeman and I worked undercover where you had to come up with stories, and I'm pretty good with that. Nevertheless, my email is mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. Give me your phone number. Oftentimes I'll call you back because I have questions, but I'm going to call back on a blocked line. So you won't know if I'm a telemarketer or if it's Mark Salem, but I'll always leave a message and tell you I'm going to try to call back in the next hour and give you some warning. So that's, and every Saturday from 10 to noon, we're here talking about cars. We're not talking about my shop. We're not talking about me, and I'm not thumping my chest. I'm just giving you guidance, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. And we've got a list of good repair shops in the valley on the website. So
The website is SalemBoysAuto.com, and then you click on the best car repair shop link. We have body shops, we have transmission shops, we have general repair shops, we have tire shops, and we have a lot of shops. And I know all these guys, so I know they're not going to let you down. And frankly, we've removed a couple of shops for unethical behavior, but we had one not too long ago that had a little bit of a dispute, but he finally wrote a check,
mm-hmm.
and we were pretty happy and proud of that response. Here's the deal. If you have a problem with a shop and they won't pay you, and an independent arbitrator says you got to give them back money, we will, up to $5,000. Renee and I will write that check and kick the shop off our list. Mark@marksalem.com. I'll see you here next Saturday.
This was